A long COVID ME-CFS moment featuring NIH director Monica Bertagnoli by Court Johnson, September 5th, 2024. An ME-CFS or long COVID moment is an indication that something in the force has shifted, that these diseases are making headway in ways they have not before. As we go along in our day-to-day lives, it's easy to forget that signs of significant shifts are occurring, and fairly regularly. Here are some recent ones. And you can see the links to these in the text version of the article. ME-CFS and long COVID experts crash Time's list of 100 most influential health leaders. It's another ME-CFS moment. Another ME-CFS moment. ME-CFS is much more common than thought, says CDC. And an ME-CFS moment just occurred at the Mayo Clinic. The Bertagnoli moment. The latest moment concerns Betsy Ladigeat's Q&A with NIH Director Monica Bertagnoli. NIH directors have a lot on their plates, and we rarely see them talk about long COVID, and even rarer, ME-CFS. Thus far, RECOVER has proven to be a hugely expensive and decidedly uninformative undertaking. Even with the $500 million boost in funding, according to Bertagnoli, the initiative is still, quote, struggling with balancing resources, end quote. $1.65 billion hasn't gone very far. That provides clarity, though. The only way ME-CFS and diseases like it will get their fair share is through the long COVID moonshot bill that's making its way through Congress right now. The big push for the bill is coming up soon. Stay tuned. As NIH Director Bertagnoli has a stake in seeing the RECOVER initiative succeed, right now its critics abound. The NIH appears to have flubbed the chance to prove it could effectively launch an effort to understand a new disease. She clearly has a lot of work to do. Time will tell whether she will take actions to right the ship or let the project bumble along. Choosing to speak to Ladigeat suggests, though, Bertagnoli is sincere about long COVID and ME-CFS, and that's potentially a big deal. An NIH director pushing for a long-term commitment to these diseases would, one would think, go far. Words, of course, only account for so much. Former Director Francis Collins told the ME-CFS community that the NIH was now serious about ME-CFS and to watch them, only to drop the disease a year or two later. Time will tell if this is a long COVID ME-CFS moment or more talking points from the new director. I'm hoping that it's the former. Vicky Whittemore, the NIH program director for ME-CFS, said, though, that Bertagnoli is very aware of ME-CFS and even more so of long COVID. Vicky also said that the new director of the Big Immune Institute at the NIH, or National Institute of Health, is even more interested in ME-CFS. Still, why would an interview with Director Bertagnoli be considered an ME-CFS long COVID moment? Because of who Betsy Ladigeat is and who she is not. The co-founder and managing editor of The Sick Times, see the link in the text version of the article, a journalism-based website documenting the long COVID crisis, Betsy Ladigeat has been laser-focused on COVID-19 and long COVID. A former journalism fellow at Muckrock, her 2023 Stat/Muckrock piece, entitled "The NIH has poured $1 billion into long COVID research with little to show for it," made the news. Her work has appeared in the Science News, The Atlantic, Stat News, 538, MIT Technology Review, Time.com, and other national publications. For all its good work, Ladigeat's main effort, The Sick Times, is a relatively small specialist website, i.e., it's not the New York Times, the Boston Globe, or even the Cincinnati Herald. That brings up a really interesting question. Why would the new director of the $47 billion a year National Institutes of Health take time out of her busy day to talk to her. The fact that she did do that may be more important than anything she said. When the head of the NIH takes the time to speak to the co-founder of a website devoted to long COVID, that's potentially very good news. Bertagnoli's background doesn't suggest she would have much interest in complex, poorly understood diseases like long COVID. She's been immersed in a field, cancer, which with its diagnostic precision couldn't be more unlike messy fields like long COVID and ME/CFS. She does know about Epstein-Barr virus, though. She has quite a resume. The former director of the National Cancer Institute, NCI, Bertagnoli was chief of the Division of Surgical Oncology for the Dana-Farber Brigham Cancer Center, the former president of the American Society of Clinical Oncology, and the chair of the Alliance for Clinical Trials in Oncology. She trained in surgery at Brigham and Women's Hospital. She's not exactly a fresh face. In her mid-60s, she's had plenty of time to take in the prejudices that have so hampered the ME/CFS field. That doesn't appear to have happened, though. She became NIH director not in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, but of the long COVID pandemic, and appears to be taking it quite seriously. The Q&A. Ladijit's first asked about the RECOVER initiative's much-lamented first round of clinical trials, and the new trials seeded by $500 million from the Biden administration. First, there was some good news. Bertagnoli pointed out that while the long COVID community was, quote, a little disappointed, end quote, and understatement, each trial also used the intervention to understand the biology of long COVID. While some of the interventions were so milquetoast, cognitive training, exercise, sleep hygiene, that one wonders how much help biological analysis will provide others, such as IVIG, transcranial stimulation, Paxlovid, modafinil. They might provide some insights. In any case, RECOVER showed some creativity when it decided to dig into the biological effects of the trials. It became clear that RECOVER got the message about speed as well. In contrast to the old RECOVER, which kept pushing the starting date of the clinical trials back and back, Bertagnoli said RECOVER was moving really fast, and pointed to an open September 23rd to 25th meeting to discuss the new trials, which she called, quote, absolutely critical, end quote. The fact that the meeting is taking place is a rather overt acknowledgement that RECOVER needs more help with creating clinical trials. That meeting is open to the public, and you must register by September 6th. See the link in the text version of the article. Citing the, quote, intense activity, end quote, the, quote, really serious hard work to be done, end quote, and its inclusive nature, Bertagnoli seemed to go out of her way to portray the new RECOVER as a fast-moving, receptive initiative, in short, everything it hasn't been perceived of as yet. Recognizing that Big Pharma is still mostly standing on the sidelines, Bertagnoli noted that until we, quote, understand the fundamental pathobiology, end quote, of long COVID, they're not going to join in. Then she said something that simply didn't fly, that getting at the pathobiology was a, quote, critical part of the cohorts, the specimens, the clinical trials, end quote, in the RECOVER initiative. That was ironic, given that the single most disappointing aspect of the project has been its rather bizarre neglect of the pathobiology. Bertagnoli was right when she said we need to get at the pathobiology to find the right treatments, but RECOVER has spent most of its money carrying out a limited and hardly informative, at least for the ME/CFS-like subset, testing regimen in tens of thousands of participants. On the plus side, it's taking lots of samples. On the minus side, it doesn't appear to have the funds to do anything with them. If the RECOVER project has been focused on pathobiology, it's hidden it very well. Of the 75 publications to come out of the RECOVER project thus far, I found only 4 that address the pathobiology of the ME/CFS-like subset of long COVID. Somehow, this hugely expensive project has hardly moved the needle in understanding the largest subset found in long COVID. Since Bertagnoli said a major area Recover could improve on was communicating that perhaps there's something we don't know, I'm still having trouble grappling with the idea that such an expensive project has produced so little of substance. Despite the fact that the Recover has spent more, much more, on long COVID in 5 years than it ever spent on ME/CFS over 40 years, and knows much, much less about it, its big problem right now is funding. Bertagnoli said, "Even with the $515 million boost, we're struggling with balancing resources. $1.65 billion just hasn't gone very far." Not surprisingly, Bertagnoli tagged pathogen persistence and an aberrant immune response as the two chief hypotheses regarding long COVID, and twice questioned whether we will either need new, stronger antivirals or use the current ones at higher doses. Thankfully, Ladijitz kept ME/CFS in the discussion, and in fact, Bertagnoli, without being asked about it, included ME/CFS in her first answer. Still, her reply to Ladijitz when she talked about people who have had ME/CFS for 20, 30, 40 years, while positive, quote, "we absolutely have to address that," end quote, lacked substance. Bertagnoli acknowledged the need to transition from the shot-in-the-arm type funding given by Congress with the Recover Initiative into a, quote, "long-term project," end quote, that illuminated long COVID, quote, ME/CFS, chronic Lyme disease, all of these chronic conditions, end quote. Her call for a, quote, "a long-term program that's really robust in these conditions," end quote, and her support of the long COVID moonshot was encouraging. When it came to the big question for ME/CFS, what about more funding specifically for ME/CFS, her reply was typical, disappointing, and illuminating. Quote, "we care a lot about ME/CFS, but don't look to us for more funding," end quote. Instead, she encouraged the ME/CFS community to pin its hopes on long COVID, which, of course, we are. Quote, "we want to be able to conquer ME/CFS and do it in the best possible way. I hope that the ME/CFS community will see much of the research that's happening now, spurred on by long COVID, to benefit them," end quote. Ironically, we are learning more about ME/CFS from long COVID, but not from the NIH. As to ME/CFS itself, Bertagnoli stated, quote, "we have a small but mighty team of long-term ME/CFS researchers who've been interested in this problem, some internal to NIH, that we intend to continue to fully support. The funding issues, that's always a moving target. It's difficult for me to speak to that other than to say, we're going to do the best we can with what funding we receive," end quote. The funding we receive says it all. The NIH is not going to dig into its coffers to give ME/CFS a hand up. If Congress allocates more money for ME/CFS, fine. Otherwise, things will remain the same. At least that provides clarity regarding how important the long COVID moonshot bill is for both ME/CFS and the long COVID fields. Stay tuned on that. A major effort is coming up shortly.